Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne, and today we're going to bring you a high school story from the imagination of Andy Offutt Irwin. Andy lives in Georgia and makes up stories about his fictional Aunt Marguerite, who went back to medical school as an octogenarian and started a hospital with her pals. The stories are full of humor and heart, and Andy is a character in the stories himself, along with all sorts of people from Aunt Marguerite's world, including a high school pal for Andy named Braswell. And while there's a lot of fiction in these stories, you'll find they ring pretty true when you compare them to, say, the experiences you had in high school. At least we hope so. Here's Andy with a tale about playing in a high school marching band. It's called Braswell the Bassoon Player. Here's Andy.
My friend Braswell is convinced that my Aunt Marguerite is psychic, can read his mind, and knows everything about his life. We were kids in school together. We played baseball against each other. We were in the Boy Scouts together. And then we were in the band together. I was a drummer, which is as much hope as they had for me. Because when you start out on drum, you know, I remember it being, you know, when I was 10 years old, and I was joining the band, you know, and I was excited about being a drummer. And, you know, my friend Sheila Phoebus got a clarinet. You know, it's a beautiful black thing. It's complicated with little keys and everything. My friend Johnny Narrington got a coronet, because that's how they started us out on trumpet. And it was gold. I didn't know what brass was. It was just gold, you know, and it had the valves with the mother of pearl on top, and it had that smell of mustiness and spit. And then I imagined that my drums would be red metal flake and cymbals, and I'd be doom tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a-tick-a-tack-a That's called a drum pad and a two sticks. And then everybody's learning their scales and they're learning to play their scales and they're learning tunes. And we had our little recital and our big tune was Mary Had a Little Lamb, you know. And it's all in unison. It's excruciating. But when you're a kid learning the drums, you've got, you know, we did the old traditional holding. So Braswell had an alto sax. It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And he got pretty good at it. And then we were all in high school, and I was on tritoms. Yeah. And then finally, you know, Mr. Rosemary, he needed a bassoon player. Our bassoon player graduated. Bassoon players are people who can't say no. Nobody ever grows up when they're 10 going, I want to be a bassoonist. And I always get emails when I say that. Now, usually, though, in high school, the bassoonist is someone who can't say no. And Mr. Rosemary went up to Braswell and said, Braswell, you want to play the bassoon? And it's a beautiful thing. It's a big, long, wooden, red thing, lots of keys on it. Look at there. And all I could think was, that's going to make a beautiful floor lamp someday. And Braswell, in Braswell's way, always obedient, doing what the adult said. He said, aight. Aight is Southern for certainly. And so Braswell became the bassoon player. Well, that was cool with me because the bassoon does not march. So he ended up in the drum line. This is back when the drummers and the percussionists are in the back because we're loud and obnoxious. And we didn't have some dad with a lawn tractor and a trailer bringing timpani and marimba and everything on. Nuh-uh, baby, that's not ethical. That ain't marching. It ain't marching it unless you carry it out. They built a new school. It was called Newton County Comprehensive High School. It started it when we were in the 10th grade. And that meant at the end of the school, there was a section where you could learn a trade. And when you graduated, you could go straight into it. You could learn carpentry, masonry, auto mechanics. You can imagine how disappointed we were, Braswell and I, when we learned that cosmetology was not about space exploration. And in the student parking lot, they didn't paint parking spaces. They painted 50 yards of a football field so the band could practice on asphalt in August. There was no hydrating. And if you think about student parking lots, what do you want to do with brand new drivers? Let's put them all in one pile at the same time and see what happens. It's like bumper cars. And there were no real parking spaces. And I had this way of standing. I could lock my knees. Brazel was right next to me. Johnny Narrington was on the other side. He was playing snare drum. I was playing my tri-toms. And this was great. I was so happy to have my friends with me. And when Mr. Rosemary was fussing at some clarinet players or something, I could lock my knees. We always wet towels down and put them over my head. And with the tri-toms, I could kind of go to sleep by balancing myself like a desk toy. We had a teacher named Mr. Comer. Mr. Comer was not a great teacher. He was that guy, the only adults he knew when he was in school were teachers, so he figured, you know, how hard can it be? He was the guy that in class, all he did was read from the textbook. Right. And he would be reading, and we would be reading along. He was easy because he would tell us what was going to be on the test. And he would say stuff like, Archimedes of Syracuse developed and invented Archimedes' screw to lift water from low places. There will be an illustration of the screw on the test. You will have to know what it is. Turn the page. Archimedes' theorem states that buoyancy is measured by the weight of the water equal to the weight of the object displacing that amount of water. And we'd watch the clock going, turn the page. Archimedes, it is said, not proven, that he attacked enemy ships off the shores of Syracuse using a heat ray. He rolled his eyes. Parabolic mirrors reflecting the sun onto the ships. And then Mr. Comer did something he never did. He lifted his head from the book and he said, this was tested in the 1930s, but the ships weren't moving. The mirrors were too close and the ships were covered in shellac. Shellac is a known accelerant. Moving on. But Mr. Comer was one of those dudes that had lots of hair right here and a puff of hair right here. And what he did was he pulled this hair over and he plastered it down with the dry look for men. The dry look for men is Aquanet in a manly can. And we knew that he did this because, you know, it was just sort of this loaf up there, you know. And we would go by his car and we'd see these cans of the dry look for men, you know, on the seat of his car on our way to band practice. My Aunt Marguerite is now 85. She's a physician. She's very wise. She's much regarded in our community, in the county. We had one high school in the county. And when she was in her 40s, somebody asked her to be on the Board of Education, the school board, and she said she would do it if she doesn't have to run against anybody. I'm not going to run for school board at all. I will put my name on the ballot. If they want to vote for me, they can. And nobody was fool enough to run against her. I'm not going to have my name everywhere. I'm not going to put my name in people's yards. That's just vulgar. Fools' names and fools' faces are found in public places. So she was on the school board. Each teacher, every year, once a year, had to go to at least one of the Board of Education meetings. And Mr. Comer, this particular day, he was there when Aunt Marguerite proposed something radical. Now, she would never call herself a feminist. She doesn't like labels at all, but she hates absurdity. We were the Newton County Rams. She hated it when the ladies' basketball team took the floor and they say, please welcome the Lady Rams. She's a country girl, and that doesn't make any sense. She had an idea. Just one day, it was a eureka moment, which is something Archimedes said. And she proposed it. She put it in writing for the school board. Mr. Comer was there, and she said, "It is absurd for the ladies' athletes to be called the Lady Rams. I think we need to call them the Embraceable Yous." But in that meeting, nobody laughed, and nobody liked it, and it was voted down. And as she left the meeting, she walked by Mr. Comer, who was talking to another teacher. He said, "Embraceable yous, that's just stupid. Stupid, 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 stupid." Yeah, I did the digital effect myself. She never really forgot that. Well, it was 10th grade is when Braswell and I came into our own. I became the vice president of the chorus. That's crazy, I know. Like, leadership. And Braswell won the contest to design the new crest for NCCHS. We had been Newton County High School, but now it's Newton County Comprehensive High School. And he was tasked with designing a new crest. He wanted to be an architect. He took drafting, back when drafting was real and there were tables and X-Acto knives and everybody cut themselves up all the time. And he was very excited because they found out that whoever made the crest, those were going to be embossed on the invitations from graduation. And Mr. Alexander, who made tombstones, was going to make a big stone in front of the school with the crest engraved in it, literally etched in stone. Braswell was so excited. And he was starting to work on that crest when we were talking about it. We were at band practice. We were out there. I'm just about to go to sleep. And Braswell said, "Don't go to sleep yet." I said, "Why?" He says, "I'm going to be able to make the crest." I said, "That's so exciting." He said, "I know. Congratulations. Thank you." All right. He's working on the flutes. I'm out. And I was asleep. And then there was like this pain on my arm. Ow! And it was a stinging, burning, and there was a red thing. And I looked at Braswell, and he had the symbols. And he smiled. I said, "What did you do?" And he took one of the symbols, because he was the symbol player. And he grabbed the rays of the sun. And he put it on my arm. I said, "Dude, don't do that!" And then he pointed, like Babe Ruth pointing a home run, because right just a few yards from us, up an embankment where the other parking lot is, where the buses came, was Mr. Comer. He was doing bus duty. And I know what you're saying. High school, bus duty. Why do you have to do bus duty in high school? Well, that was because Sharon Walker, the year before, she had a coat. She liked one of those first jackets with the elastic thing that cinched it up with. And the doors closed because she was about to get bus left. That is an adjective in where I'm from. To be bus left. Don't get bus left, y'all. I was in second grade when I found out that was two words. And the doors closed on one of those strings, and she wily coyoted down the road. And there were meetings at the school board, and it was decided that at least three teachers had to watch the buses. And Mr. Comer was out this day. And it was a windy day. It was a sunny, sunny, sunny day, but there was some wind. And Braswell looked at Mr. Comer. Now, Mr. Comer was facing south. The wind was blowing from west to east. Mr. Comer combed from east to west. And it was so providential. This loaf of hair. And Braswell, we were just standing there. He took the symbols and he made this little light crawl up right to Mr. Comer's feet. And he stopped and he looked and he said, "Should I?" I said, "Of course." I said, "Regret is bitter. And besides, the dry look for men is a known accelerant." So amazing, y'all. And then it just stayed. And it didn't sound like that. That's for effect. And it was a little piece of blue smoke. And the most delightful, cutest little yellow flame. And in slow motion, it was... And his head went down to the dirt, and he found a little dirt, and he poured it on his head. The next day, my Aunt Marguerite had a meeting with the principal of the high school. I don't know what it was about, but she called me, and she, in the morning before school, at our home phone back in the old days when the phone was tied to the kitchen wall, people. And she said, I'll pick you up from school today. You don't have to take the bus. I said, thanks, that'll be great. We have band practice, so I can't take the bus anyway, and I usually get, I don't want you to get into a car with a 16-year-old at the bumper cars now. I didn't have a car when I was 16. Braswell and I were in the commons area. It was between the gymnasium and the classroom. It was sort of like this tiered stair step area of carpet where kids could flop around. And Braswell was working on his new crest. It was beautiful. He was drawing it. Now, our county is a cotton county, Newton County. So up in the left-hand corner of this shield was a cotton bowl. And then next to that was a railroad town. There was a railroad depot there. And so we put a railroad locomotive, and then we have an iconic courthouse. It's really beautiful. It's second period French architecture. It's beautiful. It's like the Adams Family House with a clock tower. French Empire, that's the word I'm looking for. It's French Empire. It's lovely. And that was at the bottom. And then in the middle was a great horn sheep with only one horn for boys and girls. And he was working on it, and Marguerite came out of the meeting with the principal, and she was looking down, and she put her hand on Braswell's shoulder and said, oh, Braswell, that's wonderful. And then he said, oh, I'm through. No, no, keep working. I see you got a cotton bowl there, and you got the railroad locomotive and the courthouse, and I love that sheep. That's beautiful. Oh, that's what. And right then, Mr. Comer went by. He crossed from our right to our left. He had his new haircut. And he had a bandage right here. And we just tracked him, the three of us, watched him. Well, you know, if you can't say anything nice. And then Marguerite looked back at Braswell's work with the cotton ball, the railroad locomotive, the courthouse, and the great horn sheep. And she said, Braswell, that is a wonderful use of symbols.
Andy off at Irwin with Braswell the bassoon player. I remember signing up to play in the band in junior high as a seventh grader, and what it meant was that I had to go down to the junior high school in the summer with my mom on a day when the band director had all the instruments laid out in the band room for folks to see and touch and ultimately choose which instrument they wanted to play. I went down there convinced I wanted to play the trumpet. Somehow all the guys wanted to play the trumpet. And that left Mr. Cameron, the band director, in a bit of a spot. He couldn't simply have all the boys in the entire band in the trumpet section. He had to convince some of us to play other stuff. And that's, I imagine, how Mr. Cameron spent that whole long summer day, diplomatically trying to talk junior high boys out of playing the trumpet. At least he did that to me. And he succeeded. By the time my visit to the junior high band room was over, I had signed up to play the clarinet. My grandpa had an old clarinet, and he gave it to me for my birthday that year. And I had a ball playing the old licorice stick. That's what we clarinet players call our instrument of choice. And I'm glad I tried something new. A couple of years later, in ninth grade band, Mr. Cameron asked if I wanted to play the bass clarinet, and I tackled that. I mean, that thing was so big it had a kickstand. I was the only bass clarinet player in the band, and I had a ball there, too. It's kind of how I learned in my young life to be comfortable jumping in and trying new stuff. I'm an older dog now, and it's a little tougher than it used to be to learn new tricks, but... You know, not too long ago, I inherited my father-in-law's trombone, and suddenly, I'm wondering, time to pick up something new? Anyway, that's where Andy's story took me. Where did it take you, and who will you take along?
It'll have us all climbing that family tree when we share together the apple seed. So if you're hungry for stories, come and feed from the fruit of the tree of the apple seed.
It's great to have you with us, and I want to introduce you to another show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The show is called In Good Faith, and in this podcast, Stephen Cap Perry, the host, in each episode talks with a different person about that person's faith tradition. These guests talk about their relationship with the divine that will strengthen your faith. And Steve is a great listener. It's a podcast that helps you celebrate the power of faith and belief, a podcast on which you'll hear stories and accounts from believers of all kinds told in their own words. You can listen to In Good Faith wherever you hear our show. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, all kinds of places to listen to In Good Faith on demand. We're so glad to have you with us today on the Appleseed. Andy Offutt Irwin's story about Braswell, the bassoon player, has put me in mind of my own junior high and high school memories. And some of those memories, for sure, have to do with how tough it was to drag myself out of bed some mornings. Oh, man, just 5 more minutes, Mom, 5 more minutes. Ever said that as a sleepyhead? And that's why this next little piece seems to fit in today's episode for me. It's a poem by the great poet Paul Laurence Dunbar, one of the first black poets to come to prominence in America. It was important to Dunbar in some of his work to preserve the dialect of the 19th century South, and you'll hear that in this performance of Dunbar's poem, In the Morning, performed for you by storyteller Sheila Arnold. It's a poem about a kid who just can't seem to wake up, and it's written from the point of view of his mom. Sounds just like me on a school day, to tell you the truth. Here's In the Morning by Paul Laurence Dunbar, recited by our friend Sheila Arnold.
Bless the Lord. Don't you know the days are bored? If you don't get up, you scamp. There'll be trouble in this camp. Thinks I'm gonna let you sleep while I makes the board and keep. That's a pretty how they do. Don't you hear me, Lias, you? Bet if I come cross this floor, you won't find no time to snore. Daylight all are shining in while you sleep. Why, it's a sin. Ain't the candle light enough to blow out without a snuff? But you go the morning through, burning up my daylight too. Lias, do you hear me call? No use turning towards that wall. I can hear the mattress squeak. Don't you hear me when I speak? This here clock done struck off 6. Caroline, bring me them sticks. Uh-huh. You down, sir, huh? You down. Look here, don't you dare to frown. March yourself and wash your face. Boy, don't you be splatter all over the place. I got something else to do, size cleaning up after you. Boy, take that comb and comb your head. Look just like a feather bed. Look here, I let you see, you shan't roll them eyes at me. You done felt yourself too strong, and you done surely got me wrong. Every morning on this place, seems like I must lose my grace. Sit down at that table there. Just you whimper if you dare. Fold your hands. Bow your head. Let's wait till the blessing said. Lord, have mercy on our soul. Don't you dare to touch them rolls. Bless the food we gonna eat. You sit still. I see them feet. Just you try that trick again. Give us peace and joy. Amen.
That was Sheila Arnold with In the Morning. Did you ever have trouble waking up on a school morning? Did you ever get up to mischief with your friends that you feel like laughing about now? Did you ever try to learn to play a musical instrument? Are there any memorable teachers or classmates from your school days that you want to remember and share about? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. we might share them on the show. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. Now, the Appleseed isn't just an audio podcast. We also have a YouTube channel where you can watch our storytellers bring their stories to life in front of our live studio audiences. Just go to youtube.com and search for The Appleseed for videos and shorts to watch and share with the people you love. And don't forget to subscribe while you're there. We want to thank Andy Offutt Irwin and Sheila Arnold for sharing their stories with us today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, and Brian Tanner. Assistant producers include Garrett Gunnell, Carrie Griggs, Kay Hendrickson, and Nico Wetzel. Our post team is Trent Reimschussel and DJ Cromartie. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcasts, Kaboom for original audio adventures, and Wink, stories for better bedtimes. All our podcasts can be found on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on the BYU Radio app or at byuradio.org. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, leave us a review. That's how the shows grow. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on the Appleseed. Hi, this is Sam, and I want to let you know about a podcast that's just perfect for you and your family, especially if your family has some curious kids in it. Now, the podcast is called Constant Wonder Kids, and in every episode, Paige, the host of Constant Wonder Kids, will take you into everyday moments that will become extraordinary nature explorations. She'll take you on a deep dive into the ocean with whale sharks. She'll take you to the Hedgehog Olympic Games, where you'll find yourself cheering for those tiny athletes. Constant Wonder Kids is perfect when your brain's got an itch that needs to be scratched. And of course, you can find it wherever you get your podcast. And Constant Wonder Kids is kind of a kids' version of the Signal Award-winning podcast, Constant Wonder, a terrific podcast that searches for awe and wonder in all kinds of stories in every episode. Check them both out, Constant Wonder and Constant Wonder Kids. You won't regret it.